Space, the final frontier. Space Station Ashlyn sits on the edge of Federation space with its companion ship, the USS Delamis Christian. The space around them is full of mystery and strange wonders, where secrets are kept and danger lurks around every corner. The crew of the Delamis Christian must navigate treacherous waters as they work to protect the Federation. But as they peer into the unknown, they will discover that the line between friend and foe is not always clear. They will be tested like never before, and will face challenges that will push them to their limits. Join us on this adventure as we explore the farthest reaches of space and uncover the hidden truths that lie within the shadows. Tabletop Journeys presents Star Trek: Preservations.
Welcome, travelers. We are here with the cast of Star Trek Preservations.
Hi, everybody. My name is Joe Harney, and I'm playing Commander Sabine Tobor, the Joint Trill Commanding Officer of the USS Delamis Christian, a Sabre-class Federation starship that is our primary hero ship.
Hi, I'm Adam Scaramella, and I portray Ocean Chisholmer, the Delamis Christian's Andorian First Officer.
Hi, I'm David Rideout. I play Lieutenant Elidian Tanari, Chief Engineer of the Delamis Christian, currently chasing down the Moopsie that's gotten loose in the Delamis Christian.
Hi, I'm Glenn Myers. I play Lieutenant Camdril Najjar, the half-human, half-betazoid Chief of Security.
Hi, my name's Lacey Knutson, and I'm playing Lieutenant Narilla Milan, and I'm playing the Science Officer.
Excellent. And as always, I am Lee Wanika of Tabletop Journeys. I am the GM for this intrepid crew and their adventures. Today's episode, The Installation.
Captain's Log Supplemental. After completing repairs to the satellite network surrounding the Zunian homeworld and narrowly averting a diplomatic crisis, the Delamis Christian was en route back to Ashlyn Station when an unexpected communication from Starfleet Command interrupted our journey. We were promptly assigned a new mission as we made our way towards Ashlyn. The Delamis Christian has been ordered to transport a small contingent of Klingons to Starfleet Outpost 39, situated on the outskirts of the now infamous nebula known as the Briar Patch.
We open today's episode in the conference room of the Delamis Christian. The senior officers have been gathered to discuss the details of their current mission. Their passengers, a contingent of Klingons, has already embarked. I did previously let the players know that the Klingon contingent contains the following individuals. The leader of this group, Vokar, son of Kreth, of House KOTOR. There's lead engineer. There is a scientist who is Magra, daughter of Karan of House Karthok. And there are three warriors in this contingent. They are in guest quarters, which are very sparse on Jin. Because of this lack of a lot of good rooming, the crew, and this is what they're actually going to be discussing. Currently, the Klingons are in a day room or going on basically not in their own quarters just yet. This is a meeting that the bridge crew is having to discuss some of these issues, and they have some options available to them. As far as providing ample room, what might be considered diplomatically appropriate, because there is enough guest rooms for the two lead folks within this contingent to have their room, but you would expect the warriors to have kind of a nicer stay, even though they are not officers of some kind. Basically, a bridge officer would have to give up their space temporarily for this contingent, however you wish to have that resolved. That's one of the things on the docket. And then I'm going to turn everything over to the cast. We open in the conference room. Captain Tobor, please take it away.
Very good. Real quickly, are either of our two Klingon guests with us?
No, you guys are on your own at this point, though you are expected to meet with the Klingons in about 10 to 15 minutes, like relatively quickly. This is a short staff meeting before the formal introductions are done.
And how far out are we from Outpost 39 at warp 6.5 cruising speed?
You are probably a good week out, but we're not necessarily role-playing the day-to-day of each week. We're actually going to do the, you pick them up, you have this meeting. Depending on how things go, we'll determine if we have a scene during that flight or if we pick up back once you've already reached the destination.
And do we know anything more than pick these guys up and drop them off?
At this stage,
no. Be nice? Okay.
This is what you know. You are within the standard subspace network, so you do have some options available to you. Again, the reason for the meeting, like who do you want to contact? What do you want to find out? What questions does your staff have? What might be asked of you? All of those types of things.
Very good.
All right.
All right, and ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining me today. As you are been made aware, we are en route to pick up several a contingent of Klingons, including a lead engineer and scientist, and transport them out to Outpost 39. Mr. Chirilzer, if you would be so kind as to do some background check on Mr. Vokar and his associate Mogra and figure out what isn't in the official briefing.
Can do.
Excellent. Mr. Tenari, how goes the modifications for the ship's sensors in incorporating our ability to scan for Epsilon creatures?
Slowly at the moment. I'm hoping to get a little more progress in now that we don't have the repairs for the Zunian array taking up most of our time.
Excellent. Continue to work on those whenever you can. Lieutenant Nealon, how goes the cultural anthropological study of the Zunian archive database that we picked up after we left Zunium?
We're continuing to work really hard at processing everything that we have, and we'll get you updates as soon as we have some.
Perfect. We're mostly looking for the connection between Zunia and Tethys, right? The blue on blue eyes, the beings within the beans. I want to know what the connection is between these two worlds.
Yes, sir.
If I could also suggest another avenue of investigation. When we were discussing this scenario with various people, they mentioned that he understood what we were talking about, which suggests that they've actually dealt with this. We may want to consider digging into their history directly, or flat out considering bringing one or more of them into the fold.
Possibly, but that's why I had Lieutenant Nealon and her team download a copy of pretty much anything that would let us take with us to build a proper cultural profile, since for some reason Starfleet never got around to doing a complete anthropological survey of Zunia. And then we can go from there. Because you're right, Mr. Childroser. I got the sense that there were some who were deeply into the religious prohibition and some who were less so. And so we may need to find some thought leaders that are of the mind that the ancient prohibition is a relic of the past and wants to actually work proactively with us. But I think that's a problem for another time. And similarly, Mr. Najjar, I assume you have not heard anything back from Chief Tovon about the status of their investigation into the missing Starfleet equipment that was found in their Tethys-like ruins on Zunia?
Not as yet, sir.
I figured as much, because otherwise you would have told me. I know Chief was particularly unimpressed with us, so I'm sure he's going to drag his feet.
Almost openly hostile would be more accurate, sir.
Yeah, so just, I know you'll continue to bird dog that one and make sure that we do eventually get the information we need.
Rough, sir.
So, That takes care of the mission previous, the current one. Again, like I said, we're transporting this contingent of Klingons. I don't know much more about them. Of course, I don't know how many of you all have had experience with Klingons directly. I know we are still solid allies since post the Dominion War, despite that little rough patch there with the Cardassia Prime bit and the light war crimes that were committed there. But do all you can to be friendly and hospitable and welcoming. But remember, their culture is one of a lot of passion and intensity and such. So just mind your conspiracy theories and such, as I deliberately don't look at Tanari. And try and find out casually what they're up to. I'm sure Mr. Kovar, as an engineer, could likely connect with Mr. Tanari. And then Lieutenant Nealon, their chief scientist, is very sciencey, so I will leave it to you to build a rapport with her. Anyone else have anything before we arrive or rendezvous with the transport and take on our guests?
Sir, at some point when we drop out of warp, I'd like to take you out on a worker bee to discuss some of the changes to the primary sensor grid.
Sure.
I like that undertone. Excellent. Unless anybody else had anything else that they wanted to say, we will shift. We're still in the same general scene. We, in fact, are starting this particular mission with 2 threat per player, which gives us a total of 10 threat. Pickup is pretty simple. It's not like a big fanfare. Basically, a Klingon cruiser notifies you that they're in the area via communications, pulls up alongside of you, decloaks. This is Megvar class Klingon cruiser, so it's big, but this looks very different. So it's about that size. It looks like that, but it is definitely got some nuances, some differences to it. Tanari, you're looking at this ship, and Ocean, with your pastime, even you can tell that this is reminiscent of a class of ship, but this is something different. This is some type of new or alternate design on a similar framework. It has the standard IKS color scheme shapes, so it has a design history, but this is some form of new type of ship. And the communication comes over that they are requesting permission to embark, and the Klingon officer who's doing the communications simply says, "This is the flagship of House KOTOR. I am Captain T'Kakran. Are you ready to receive Vokar, son of Breath?"
"This is Captain Sabine Tobor of the USS Delamis Christian. We are ready and honored to receive Vokar, son of Kreth, transporter room 2.
"Excellent. We are prepared to beam over our party."
"Excellent. And
with that, who all is in the transporter room to receive your guests?"
"It'll be Ocean, myself, and Lieutenant Ajar."
"When the transport happens, standing in front of you is an older, like you can tell by the gray hair, actually has a slight hunch to his back, and actually has some form of ornate staff. While on some level it looks like it's some large non-bladed weapon, think a cudgel of sorts, it clearly, by the way it looks, is a walking stick. Just happens to have some alternate functionality. It is carved. There are Klingon words there. It is very well decorated, and it looks like it's fairly old. It is definitely made of wood, not metal, though it has a steel cap on one end. And the warriors are dressed in standard Klingon warrior garb. The secondary officer, Magra, she is dressed not in warrior's gear, but not in that Kalar-style civilian attire either. It's very appropriate for a Klingon of some kind of status, but neither a noble, nor a warrior, nor a commoner. So it's more like an artisan type of craft. The person in the lead, he steps down from the pad. He walks a bit haltingly, but carries his staff as opposed to leaning on it. And it's very clear that he should be leaning on it. But he's making deliberate effort to not look like he needs assistance as he walks towards you. And he stops and he says, "Greetings. I'm Volkar, son of Kreth. I'm the head of House Kotor. We thank the Federation and your crew for your assistance in this endeavor."
"You are welcome, Volkar, son of Kreth, upon my ship. I am Captain Sabian Tobor. This is my first officer, Lieutenant Commander Chai Rilzer, and my Chief of Security, Lieutenant Najjar."
Najjar inclines his head. Also, while introductions are being made, Najjar specifically scans all of the new arrivals, looking for the changes or empty spaces in their thought patterns and emotions that would indicate species Epsilon.
Okay. Not going to make you roll. You do not notice anything. This is not a species Epsilon kind of concern, at least as far as the individuals you have in front of you. But so noted that you are pretty consistent when meeting new folks, especially those that are named, are going to be asking that question.
Particularly since it's become evident that we have the technology to scan. We can't always scan without arousing suspicion or upset. So Najjar has taken it upon himself to become a Epsilon detector and is planning, since he's realized that Lieutenant Nealon is also an empath, slowly but surely as he's gotten to know her, to try to explain slash teach slash show her the things that he's been picking up to identify them.
All right. So he motions, and with that, Magra comes over. Magra is a physical specimen. It's not unusual to have a particularly fit Klingon woman, but this one is a little bit more so than you would consider average. She actually is taller and more well-muscled than her warrior counterparts. You're pretty convinced that this woman could take them in an altercation. Actually, since Glenn, you were scanning, I will let you make an insight roll. I know you're specifically looking for those Epsilon things to see if there's anything specific that you notice about her. The difficulty here happens to only be a zero. This is just an opportunity to build up some momentum because I almost feel guilty that I have so much threat against y'all right now.
So while he's making those rolls, I wanted to indicate, because while this might be normal for Ocean, they are Klingons and they would maybe react a little bit differently than most people. Ocean's expression when they're introduced is a very slow and appraising nod and whatnot. And I was going to mention anyways, because I was assuming the standard Klingon woman dress that they typically wear on the shows, I am making a point that Ocean doesn't ever look at, you know, he's looking at people in the eyes, occasionally to their hips, yeah. But he is just the same kind of business, especially with this type of visitor. But his demeanor to them is going to be very gruff.
A couple things about her style. She does not wear the Lursa Bator style window. Right. She does not have that. She's fully clothed. She does have short sleeves, so like her biceps bulge and whatnot. So like I said, she's clearly fit. So Glenn, your role, like I said, zero difficulty. How would you like to approach that?
I would go insight security, and I think it's wonderful that you're going to give me a role for additional information, because while his primary Betazoid ability empathy scan was for Epsilon, whenever he meets new people, especially people coming on the ship, his skills as a criminal psychologist, behavior analyst, and just insightful observer person kick in, and he's always trying to pick up whatever he can. So if you're cool with insight security.
Absolutely am. Standard complication range.
So I have one success. Didn't expect to get an 18 to miss the second one, but I did.
So the crew has one momentum, and I have 10 threat. What you're able to notice is, despite her physicality, She's remarkably light on her feet. Like, she strides over, and where it may be more typical to see Klingons kind of stomp, like they get where they're going with some force and determination, even though she's physically bigger than most of the rest collected there, she's remarkably light on her feet, almost glides from spot to spot. She's belaying a level of skill while most would focus on her physical size. So this is a person who's not only strong looking, but also exceptionally agile.
Understood.
And with that, Volkar says,
"This is Mogra, daughter of Karan, House Kathok. She is the second on our team, and she is in charge of our scientific areas. So this is the Dalamas Christian. I've heard things about this ship. A warrior's vessel, they called it, from the Dominion War.
Indeed, we were at Chintaka, fighting alongside many brave and honorable Klingons.
Yes. And in the moments before the Dominion War, my house lost two ships to this one.
It was a noble struggle.
You're honored among those in my house. When I heard that your ship was in the area, I made sure that this was who the Federation sent.
We are honored to be remembered as worthy adversaries, and even more worthy allies. May I show you to your quarters, or do you wish to get straight to it?
You can have someone show the rest of my people to quarters. And then he motions one of the warriors, hands a pad to the transporter chief, and Volkar then says, those are the coordinates of some of the equipment we need beamed to your cargo bay.
I take it and I hand it to Chizilra, who then hands it to Najar, who then hands it to the transporter chief.
With that, he says, now, show me your ship.
Absolutely. Come along, sir.
Excellent. So with that, we're going to move the scene along where you're showing him to different spots. What is the first area you intend to show Volkar and Mogra?
The first one I'm going to show is the shuttle bay. So we're going to come down the transport onto deck 3. And we walk over to the big, giant, transparent aluminum vista that looks out over the extensive shuttle bays and everything that's set up and maneuvering here.
Excellent use of space on such a little ship.
It's amazing what you can do when you start taking out bulkheads. But this refit, our shuttles, and then as you can see, we have several runabouts and such. This has been one of the secrets to our success. As a patrol vessel, we operate outside of support of other ships quite often, but we carry our own support with us. The Tank Abbott over there is one of our newest Yellowstone-class runabouts, specifically outfitted for combat configuration. Almost as effective as one of our strike fighters.
I see. Good, good. I like the design here. It makes sense. Mogra, take note. I'd be interested in speaking with your engineers and how your structural integrity fields and superstructure design supports the widening in this area and still keeps it sturdy.
Of course. In fact, main engineering is next on the list, and have you talk with my chief engineer about those modifications.
We have a saying in the colony that I once stated for some time in the years before the war. You can serve the best blood wine at every bar, every tavern, every drinking hole, I think is the phrase they use in Earther speak. But if the chairs are not sturdy enough to hold a warrior, everybody ends up on their back.
I understand. I myself am not particularly well-versed in the engineering. I did do the reading, and I'm sure Mr. Tenari, my chief engineer, can explain it better, but we've integrated our ablative armor into the structural integrity of the expanded bay. So where the expanded bay would otherwise provide a weakness, the way in which we designed the armor to work in conjunction with the space provides actually more protection than it would otherwise normally.
I see. Good deal. Good. I like that idea. Moga, take note. And you enter the engineering section, and Tenari, you see the Klingons as previously described. Vokar actually steps around you, Tobor, walks over to Tenari, and offers a traditional Andorian greeting. Tenari, you are the hero of the Zindi people, I am told.
I certainly helped out. I am honored by your recognition.
You honor me by allowing me into your temple.
I've heard you are an engineer of note as well. I'm more than happy to show you around.
We'll have plenty of time in our journey to go into the details. No need to bore your captain and first officer, but I would be honored to talk design. Do not know if you and your crew are aware, but House KOTOR, we are shipwrights. And our house goes back to the ages before Klingons took to the stars. We were shipwrights of vessels on the seas of Kronos. We were among those involved in the first reconstructions taken from the Herc when we reconquered our lives.
I have to admit, I am envious of your house's history. I myself was born on and have lived my life on Starship. So one might say electroplasma runs in my vein.
Excellent. He clasped you on the back with a heavy hand. Again, not particularly damaging. It's just one of those, he's just happy to be in the conversation. And with that, anybody else have any questions about what's happening here or anything they wanted to do in this scene?
I will certainly answer any questions he has, give him a brief tour of engineering, since he seemed to indicate he wanted to do more detailed stuff later.
He'll ask a few questions here or there. He is very interested in smaller Federation ships and how there have been in recent times, certainly through the post-Wolf 359 era, gotten really good at shrinking the size of warp engines and their coils and their various pieces and parts while still maintaining, if not improving, on the overall power output. So he's very interested in that type of thing. He never asks about anything that might be considered sensitive or proprietary. A lot more general questions, that type of thing. He likes the flow of what you have. He does seem very knowledgeable about what's going on.
And I'm happy to show him both our high-powered tractor beam systems, as well as the improved impulse drive, with Tenari providing subject matter expert answering questions. Unless he specifically asks, I'll leave the high-resolution sensor systems off the tour.
Fair enough. He's pretty good with the engineering section at this time. You can tell that he's trying to be polite. He wants to talk more, but understands that two engineers talking ships and talking engines will go on forever, and there is other things that need to be done in this moment, so he acknowledges that. So he looks a little almost forlorn, if such a word applies to a Klingon, as it's time to move on to a different section. Where would you take him next?
Essentially, I'd be like, we can tour the impulse drive, or we can visit the bridge. Your choice.
He'll definitely take a look at the impulse drive. Similar basic type of questions. The engineering staff kind of tackles those pretty easily that's there, unless, Tenari, you wanted to join on the tour at this point?
Yeah, I'll go continue with them to go into the impulse drive.
And the staff will not speak where you can and should speak in this case. He does ask a lot of detailed questions revolved in the power transfers that go on with impulse drives and powering certain systems. What is powered by what? These questions may get a little bit closer to more sensitive areas. And when he does touch on that, he recognizes that he's done that and says, no, don't worry about that. And then he'll go on to other things. And so just has a good conversation. Ocean, I'm assuming you're here at this point as well, because everybody stayed with the tour. Is that accurate?
Yes. Yeah, I would have stayed with the tour, especially if Najjar was taking care of the other folks as well. But after this whole conversation, he seems to be very curious about various things.
Yep.
I will make a point of dropping back at one point and just throwing a quick note to Najjar that he may want to put a little bit higher monitoring on things like the schematics and anybody accessing. He seems to be curious, so we should just make sure that we're respectful of that. Sure. Yeah, that's the best way to put it.
Okay.
Then we'll hit deck 4, science, medical. So to introduce Mogrotz with Lieutenant Nilan and get them started to conspire.
Najjar spins back. You got it, sir.
You reach deck 4, you get to the science department, and Volkar himself is interested in some scientific endeavors as it applies to engineering. So, like, he is very focused on the physics, things of that nature. So he's interested in any work or experiments or study that's being done in those avenues. Mogra, for her part, does lean a little more into biology. She mentions the fact that she has good experience in toxicology and virology, as well as biological sciences involved with camouflage and physical adaptation. She definitely leans in those directions as far as her particular study, as far as what she's looking at. So she's definitely anything that's, again, not sensitive. She doesn't pry. She's actually relatively quiet. In addition to being light on her feet and such, she's actually a relatively quiet person. Throughout this whole thing, she will speak when spoken to. She will ask questions when it's appropriate, but she's not particularly verbose. She's not grandiose. A lot of Klingons will either grandstand or be completely subservient, and she is neither of those two things. She's in that weird medium. What stands out about her is the way she doesn't stand out, even though she physically stands out.
So, Lee, real quick, one of the things I wanted to do prior to this, and I would have consulted with Nilan, is in the science lab, I wanted a whole bunch of the Tethys artifacts and the stuff we got from Zunia out, and that's what the team's working on, because I want to see any reaction to any of the Epsilon related, but if you looked at it, you wouldn't know offhand if you didn't know anything. Like, ooh, look, old artifacts. But if she's like, what is that? Kind of thing. Because what I'm testing is, did they ask for us specifically for a different reason than what Kovar said? Because they fought the Christian at one point.
Yeah. Great questions. I think, and I'm not going to do so here, if we were playing a fully converted 2E game, that feels a lot more like an opportunity cost ask at this stage, because we didn't state that like when we were in the briefing room or as the episode opened. But I'm perfectly fine without doing the opportunity cost at this point. But yeah, so they were out there. As far as reactions, I will certainly give everybody here the ability to react as individuals. Nobody really gets to assist you in this process. So you each are going to get your own role to learn what you learn about their reactions. And again, there's only two Klingons here. I'm going to do a weird thing. There is a base difficulty, and one of the two of them has a trait that makes that more difficult, but I'm not going to tell you who is what, because I'm only going to have you make one roll, and then I'll give you information as far as what you do. So essentially, one of them has a trait that is going to be 3. So the base difficulty here is 1. The other is going to have a difficulty that is 4, to get any kind of useful information from the reaction. Neither of them look overtly surprised or drop-jawed at what they see, but there's some nuance to the way they're going to react to variant things. So for the rest of this scene, this is going to be how you can get information based on their reactions to what you're showing them or what's being said. So we'll do this one check for everybody, and this is going to cover the entirety of this scene. So anytime you're in a scene, you can call on your success and or failure to get additional information based on that scene. So with that said, difficulty one. The other one is going to be difficulty four. I'm just not telling you which is which, because therein lies the secret. But I will go from the top of my screen as I show it now. So we're going to start with you, Dave. How would you like to approach gathering this information?
I'm not certain. What kind of suggestions would you give?
Generally speaking, this type of thing is going to be some form of insight. And as far as a department goes, I think for you, command or security makes the most sense, or even science would work, depending on your preference for how you approach that. So I think just to throw out that general answer in case anybody else has a similar question when it's their turn, I think any of those would work, but I definitely think insight would be the ability. As far as the department, that becomes a wee bit more fluid, but I don't see engineering.
David, while you're thinking about this, one of my talents that I haven't been able to use that often is collaboration security, which means that I can spend a momentum to allow you to use my score for a discipline and one of my focuses. You would be able to use my security for this check, and we could play it out that you have been joining me on a holodeck story that I have been playing through, where I'm actually talking about, you know, reading the NPCs or something like that, to the tells that they have, so that give you a little bit of a bonus on that. Yeah.
And so I will go ahead and use his security, because I was thinking of using security anyway.
Okay.
So also get his focus as well, or is it one or the other, Adam?
You can use the focus. So the only focus that I think might come into play is the clandestine operative, but I don't know if that would play in. So.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we're going ahead and using our adaptive characters, right? So I will go ahead and get an extra die with a threat, just so I can use intense.
Wait.
Tanar is very intensely staring.
So what's your security?
5.
Okay. Give me target number 14. That is 1 success and 120.
Yes!
But, nope, it's not bold engineering.
Nope.
Well done, Dave.
Nice. True to form, baby. True to form.
True to form.
Yeah, there is a complication. The complication in this case, unless you have a reroll or a way to take away that complication.
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, because intense is just an extra momentum that I get to immediately spend, not a reroll.
Unless you want to make this a situation where I could assist with the advisor and we combine it into just one check. And then I could advise him and hopefully get a reroll?
No.
Or, no. All right. I'm stressed. I was reaching.
He's keeping the application.
It was a good reach, but it wasn't quite enough. It's like me trying to slam dunk. I'm going to need a bigger ladder. But as far as that complication, I'm not even banking that. I'm actually going to use that right now. Effectively, as you're watching the reactions, and there's nothing overt that happens, but you absolutely recognize that Magra clocks the fact that you are trying to pick up on things. She gets the fact that she's being scrutinized. For the rest of this scene, any social interaction that you have in opposition to Magra, or any situation where she might necessarily be intimidating in some fashion, which may in fact come into play shortly, you are going to be at a disadvantage by one trait.
Okay.
And so with your one success, it is pretty obvious that Vokar has no specific inordinate reaction to the Tethys artifacts. He sees them. He seems relatively disinterested in things that are not involved with ships, ship design, ship architecture, ship construction, and things that impact the operations of ships. So he is very interested in the way space is used on the Delamis Christian for scientific endeavors. It's not that he doesn't care or like science. He more cares about how do you get a usable science station in a small vessel? Because if you can get that and it's functional and it handles all the things you need, then when he builds these giant cruisers, he has the ability to dedicate less space to science because he knows what's functional for a given set of operations. That's more where his interest in the science department and what they're doing and what they're covering. So he does pay attention to what's spoken about during this part of the tour, the types of work that they typically do. But as far as the Tethys artifacts, you're studying artifacts. Wonderful. And he will ask questions like, do you have enough space for that? Do you ever feel the need to have more space? Do you feel slighted? What are the things that you want that you don't have? Those are the types of questions that he goes into. For her part, Magra does not appear to react to those artifacts in any way, but she's very focused on any biological research that you have, and that's pretty much what you're able to clock, Dave. Joe, your role?
Yeah, so I'm going to take
one question, sir. We do have the momentum we need to spend immediately.
Yeah.
Anyone have any ideas on how to spend it? If we don't spend it, we lose it.
Yeah, that's the trick, because you can ask, obtain information, so you can always ask a question.
Yeah.
So while you're thinking on that, Dave, let me go ahead and set my thing up. So, Lee, I'm going to use my join trail, because I don't think I have a focus that would apply diplomacy, maybe diplomacy or...
Composure would absolutely apply.
Okay, so then I don't need to use my join trail. However, if you will allow me the latitude of it, I would like to use a point of determination for one of the new second edition options to get access to a talent I don't normally otherwise have.
Sure.
Perfect, because I'm going to choose dedicated focus for this composure one, which increases my critical explosion range. It doubles it. So when I'm doing my insight command test on a roll of 1 through 10, now it will be a critical success.
Fair enough.
And I am going to buy a die with the momentum. I am looking for insight command, which is going to be 15. I got an 11, a 15, and a 13.
That is funny. Not one critical, but all successes.
Not one critical.
That puts three momentum out there. You get no real reaction from Magra, other than what was previously described, and same thing with Volkar. He is very interested in spatial things and basically what is required to make a science department fully functional within the space. How small can that actually be? Like, could he get away with having a Danube shuttle size science department versus something the size of this? Or he's really trying to fine tune that process. And Lacey. Or actually, let me go back to Dave real quick. Did you figure out the question you wanted to ask?
I think I've got an idea. Can I get an idea as to the interpersonal relationships between Volkar and Magra?
Absolutely. It is pretty clear that Volkar is in charge. He's the leader of a house. This is not like a second. This is not a member of a house. This is the head of the house. He just happens to be very active in the dealings of the house, which is shipbuilding. Whereas Magra, who is not a member of his house, but is a member of his team, his staff specifically, is there. So he definitely looks at her like anybody else. This is not a trusted friend, but it is somebody who works for his house. So this is an employee type of thing. It is very clear to you that he is not a military commander. He is a business leader, right? And he regards her as an head of a department within his business that is necessary, but not the main operations of that. So think of like a Fortune 500 company and how they regard human resources. They don't care. They do it because they have to, not because they want to. So they are there, but anytime that what they are suggesting gets in the way of what the operations folks want, they are pretty easily dismissed. Not necessarily fired, but they're placated. So, like, he tolerates her presence in a business sense, but he has no animosity towards her. From her standpoint, this is a task she has been assigned. It is very clear she is not happy with it, but she will certainly do what she has to do. So she is here because she's obligated to be here, and she has every intention of fulfilling that obligation. Very good question.
Okay. So there's no particular loyalty between them or anything, or any particular antipathy, but they're just...
I would say their loyalty goes to the fact that they're both Klingons. Mm-hmm. They are both working for this house, and this house has some mission, so their loyalty goes that far. It's if you work for a company, and there might be somebody you may have never met, but they're a part of that company, and you go to some function where there's multiple companies, you're going to hang out with the people from your company first, at least until you get to know other people, even though you have no specific loyalty to that individual. That's where that would be.
But it's not like the loyalty of a Klingon crew member to a ship captain or...
Correct. They are not tied in that way. He feels no, I would die for you kind of thing. One, he's not a military commander. Yeah, that's not the way he views the world and works with the world, which is a bit unusual because most of the Klingons we see in Star Trek tend to be warriors or military folks. We don't get a lot of episodes with non-military folks. So the fact that is just not what you're experiencing here is interesting and odd. For all the closeness of Klingons and the Federation over the years of Trek, a lot of the interaction between Starfleet and the Federation is military with military. So they build military things, you're dealing with civilians. Or at least so, Volkar's a civilian.
Yeah, and so Lee, with my bonus momentum from my patient species ability,
yep.
I want to confirm. So was my past host, Nerlina, on board the Dalamish Christian when they fought Volkar as House's ships?
Yes, but more specifically, you didn't fight anybody from Volkar's house. They just built the ships that were in the battles. Mm. So he is very aware that the ship you're on bested ships that his family built, and to be specific, based on his apparent age and the time of those battles, he likely would have been the designer of the ships the DC beat.
Hmm.
So he is quite interested in the Dalamis Christian because one of his things was beaten by this thing, so he wants to know how to build a better thing. And that's not, I'm angry at you, I have hatred, or I'm jealous of you. That's a, wow, my theories, my plans were bested. I need to use that as a way to build better things. He is actually in admiration of the vessel that bested him. And so he's trying to better his craft by learning what he can from his failures.
Okay, perfect.
And that would have been one momentum.
That was the bonus momentum from...
Okay, that was a bonus. Yeah. Got it. So we are at 3 momentum, 11 threat. Lacey?
I want to leverage that I was the one who chose what would be on display, given the orders to have things out. Things that I expect might pique interest or not pique interest. And then I was wondering, can I use empathy for this task?
Absolutely. Yeah, empathy would clearly be a good focus here. So did you want to do insight science in this case?
And can I use a momentum or bold science?
For bold, you have to use threat. So you're going to give me a threat. Yay. 12 threat to buy that extra die, and you may roll.
2 successes. 1 is a 2 and 1 is a 7.
Excellent. The 2 is actually going to be a double success. So that's 3 successes total. Versus a 1 challenge, so that's going to give you 2 momentum. And because you did bold, you're rolling 3 die, you can always re-roll the 1 die that wasn't a success at this stage.
Oh, I would like to do that. I just barely made it.
Excellent. So that gives you 4, which is what it takes to get the second individual's details. So what is known by Lieutenant Mila is similar information without the specific bonus questions regarding Volkar. But with Magra, you get the extra information. So I guess the cat's out of the bag, who is a little sketchy. But with Magra, you are noticing that she is specifically looking for and looking. She's not saying, she's not asking questions, but just with what she looks over, she's looking at a number of very specific either file names or types of experiments or types of equipment. It might be a different challenge later on to figure out how that may all piece together, or a momentum spin to piece it together on the fly, but she is looking for very specific things, and there are three very specific things that she eyeballs. She's looking at raw material like chemical components. She's looking for devices capable of creating specific reactions, a chemical component, a machine processing component, and then she is looking at other things, possibly even delivery agents, like another set of mechanical type things, like dispersal type things. She's clearly looking at these things, and she is exceptionally good at hiding it. You just clocked it. One, you're a scientist, so it tripped up that, why would somebody, she's working with a ship design team? I get the fact that she's a scientist, but you're putting together the fact that biology, all of the studies that she mentioned that she's all about, and then the types of things she's looking at, none of that pertains in any way to ship studies. So you have clocked that she's got...
Yeah, on the same page.
Yeah. She clearly has some other agenda.